Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon. Here we are, Father's Day weekend, June 17th today. Yeah, tomorrow's 18th. Next day is 19th. Federal holiday for Juneteenth. Anyway, you are listening to Wondrous Roots, Your Health from the Ground Up. My name is Rebecca, Becky Montrone. We have a business here in Keene called Wondrous Roots. I am an holistic health care practitioner with a degree in holistic nutrition, and I am certified through the Association of Drugless Practitioners. And I work with people with all kinds of health problems, A to Z, soup to nuts, you name it, things I've never heard of. I kind of have a reputation as being a bit of a detective. So if something's going on and you're not having, and people aren't having success with finding answers, I kind of take those things on, but I work with things that are a lot simpler too. But we work with everything here, and I'm happy to do it. I'm also a herbalist and herbalist, so I work with botanical medicine, do a lot with that. That's been a real fascination throughout my entire career and even prior to that, and so was nutrition. But love working with different plants and using them in different ways to accomplish different things when it comes to supporting health. And that could be things that you apply topically. I just came up with a formula for Dupuytren's contracture a while back. And much to my delight and a bit of a surprise, it works really well because that's a really difficult condition. If anyone has that condition, it's when the fibers in the palm of your hand begin to contract, get stiff, and they pull your fingers in towards one another across the palm. Can happen to the feet. It's known as Lederhosen disease. It can actually happen, God forbid, into the penis, which is called Peyronie's disease. But it's the same process that's going on with this fibrous tissue just getting harder and stronger and, not good. But anyway, this formula, so that's an application of my herbalism, botanical medicine background. We have a great skincare line. If I do say so myself, it is really wondrous. It's really wonderful. And these formulas are effective. They are, comparatively speaking, if you look at our list of ingredients, not only for purity, but also for the number of plants we use. So for our base oil, are probably 15 different plants infused into probably 4 different oils, and then we add nutritive oils. And then essential oils. It's just really gratifying to see products work that we do right here, batch by batch. My husband, Dale, makes most of the skincare products at this point in time, and every day several batches of cream being made into lotion, being made into essential immune skin. It is a constant whirl of activity, and we're real proud of it. We're real happy about it, and we're really grateful for those of you who enjoy our products and are using them. So anyway, a little bit more. We are located on Roxbury Street here in downtown Keene, New Hampshire. Our open door business hours are 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. We're up on the third floor of the Miller Forge building. Really great building, lots of ample parking. It's free. which is really unusual for downtown Keene. We have parking meters, and we have parking meters with 2-hour limits. And oh my goodness, when I work with somebody in a consultation, I say it's 90 minutes. It's rarely 90 minutes. It's usually 2 hours. And I had one very in-depth, very, there's the motorcycle, but I don't want to close my window. So just bear with us for a moment here, me and the motorcycle, but it's gone. We just went for, I don't know, it was probably about 3 or more hours. So why do I do that? I like to get to the root of things. I like to understand you. I like to understand the client. I like to understand what's going on with their health, not just what are we talking about today? Is it your allergy, or is it your bursitis, or is it your gut? Is it your constipation? We can only talk about one thing because we've only got like 15 or 20 minutes max. And never do we make a connection between one and the other. That's what's really missing in healthcare today. And I'm not saying there aren't really good doctors out there and that there's not a need for mainstream medicine as we know it. There's a time for a doctor. But usually when it comes to what's going on with especially chronic conditions and prevention of disease such as cancer, such as Alzheimer's, such as Parkinson's, such as everything you want to prevent, and not really good at that. So anyway, that's what we do here. Anyway, if you want to park, you know, you don't want to be having to run out and plug your meter or move your car and go to another one and plug the meter in 2 hours. So we have free parking. That was my whole point here to making that point. And what else I want to say, seriously, my air conditioner just went on, and I wish I had that turned off because I hope it's not making too much noise. Maybe Dale, if you can shoot me an email and let me know if that air conditioner is a problem, I'll take a second. Just let people know that's what I'm doing and go turn it off. Okay. So, yeah, you are listening on Blog Talk Radio live today, 12 to 1 o'clock. But if you want to listen to this later, you can do that a number of ways. You can go to the newsletter that you received, probably, if you're listening to this. And you can go to the link, the original link to join, and you can listen at any time. You can also, in that newsletter down towards the bottom, you can see links to the MP3 recordings, which are kind of an advantage because you can rewind and fast forward or whatever, especially if you want to listen to it again. And so you can do that. But in the newsletter as well, I have lots of links to the information that I will be talking about. And this is so that you can go later. So you can follow along, but maybe not follow along while I'm talking, but also you can go back. I even have on there, I downloaded a book for you to take advantage, an ebook today that you can open up and then download yourself called Magnesium, The Missing Link to Better Health, Prevent Heart Disease, Diabetes, Osteoporosis, More. Really, really great resource. I've been doing this series, do my little blurb, my intro on the newsletter. Before I get there, again, I will say we are located, I told you where we are, what our business hours are, 9:30 to 5. That's open store hours. If you need to book an appointment that overlaps those hours, that's fine. Get in touch with me, 603-439-2603. Again, 603-439-2603. And one more thing to say here, if you want to call in, this is a talk radio program. And it's been interesting because since I was doing this program on WKBK, which is a local news station, but people were listening all over the place because you can listen to WKBK on the internet as well. There's been less people, and my door is about to slam. Hang on. Now, see, if I was at WKBK, that wouldn't have happened. But anyway, that's the way it is. I like it this way. I feel kind of like a cowboy, a cowgirl, kind of independent over here. But yes, so people aren't calling, you're not calling in, and I know you're listening because people are like, that was great, I learned so much, can I have, where's the recording, that kind of thing. So I know you're benefiting and you like it, but know that you can call in, and I will just, you don't have to talk about magnesium. You can ask me anything. Tell me anything. Give me a really good pointer. Oh, I will tell you a pointer I learned from a client just this week. I'm always learning from my clients. Chamomile for blood sugar control. Chamomile as a I don't want to say it that way, but this is how my client's using it. And it was recommended by a naturopathic doctor, so it didn't originate with me, and it wasn't just something she read somewhere, though that wouldn't necessarily mean it wasn't good either. But she's using this because she doesn't want to use metformin for her insulin resistance problem. And she says she drinks like 4 cups a day, and she it's really, really helped her. So I never thought of chamomile for that purpose. So that's something else I got to look more into, but that's exciting. So anyway, you can call here, 563-999-3478. And that number is posted in my newsletter because that's not an easy one to just remember. 563-999-3478. That's 563-999-3478, like all those annoying commercials. All right, so here we go. Why are we so sick? That's a series I've been doing. But I say, why are we so sick? That's a series, right? But then I'm like, why are we so sick? From our toxic chemical-laden environment and food supply to commonplace nutritional deficiencies to the poor lifestyle habits of today, it is more a question of why are we all not sick? In this series, I am still in part one, nutritional deficiencies. Having addressed the trace mineral lithium, like who would have known, right? Who thinks of that one? Like most people don't even think of lithium as a nutrient. They think of it as a medication. And the critically important mineral iodine. Last week I talked about magnesium, another critical nutrient most of us do not get enough of for a variety of reasons. Today I'd like to continue on the topic of marvelous mag, including more fascinating information and reading to you some case studies indicating how magnesium repletion can make a world of difference in a person's picture of health. You may see yourself in the information I share, or maybe someone else you care about. The good news comes after the bad, which is to say, if we know it is broken, then we know what to fix. And in the case of missing nutrients, then we know how to fix it, right? Sometimes we can know what's broken, but we don't know how to fix it, and maybe there isn't a fix. I'm not talking about health, I'm just talking about anything. In the broad scheme of things. But when it comes to a missing nutrient, if we know that our problem is due to a missing nutrient or nutrients, then we know how to fix it. That's exciting. That's really good news because it means that we are not destined to a life of ill health. We have much more control than we think we do. And that's a mantra I'm always saying here on Wondrous Roots, at Wondrous Roots, everywhere, whether I'm talking with somebody or whether I'm on the radio or whatever. I want to talk, last week I said, before I dive into more information, I said I would talk about some case studies, like read some things, because it's really fun to see how somebody in real life uses a nutrient, say magnesium, and makes a quite a dramatic difference in their health picture. So I thought that this one was, so I'm reading from Carolyn Dean, Dr. Carolyn Dean. She's an MD and an ND. Her second edition of the Magnesium Miracle, and says here, "Hello, Dr. Dean. I'm a Mexican dentist, 42 years old. In June 2002, I started feeling something like sand in my eyes and went to an ophthalmologist whose diagnosis was allergic dermatoconjunctivitis. And I was prescribed some ointments and drops for my eyes. They didn't work, so I went to see another 4 ophthalmologists, and they changed the diagnosis to keratitis. Anytime you see an itis on a word, it means inflammation, by the way. So she had 2 itises diagnosed, different ones. In the meantime, I started to develop eye blinking that got worse and worse until it became such a severe spasm that I couldn't open my eyes. Dear. I also started having tetany, muscle spasms. From the first doctor until this point, 2 months had passed. Needless to say, I was desperate and very depressed. I couldn't work, drive, or even walk. Then I went to see a neuro-ophthalmologist who gave me the terrible diagnosis of essential blepharospasm, which is eyelid twitching, by the way. That stands for the eyelid. And then O always like attaches two different medical terms. Blepharospasm, which means that they don't know what causes it. And of course, there is no cure. He also told me that this was known as Meige syndrome, capital M-E-I-G-E syndrome. And he offered me three options. One, to take neurological prescriptions, sedatives for life. The prescriptions would have to be changed every 3 months because they lose their effect. Botox injections with the risk that the eyelid could droop. Or three, a facial nerve block, the motor part in my face. The treatment is horrible. They give you shots all around the forehead and eyelids with an alcohol-derived substance. The injections go to the depth of the bone. Wow. My goodness, how daunting. He recommended that I try number three first, so I accepted the treatment. That's the facial nerve block. This was in August 2002. Let me tell you that it was a horrible experience. My face was swollen to at least 5 times normal size. He definitely did something wrong because he left me with facial paralysis on the left side. So my right eye couldn't close and my left eye was still closed because it didn't respond to the shots. He prescribed me cortisone and told me that we had to wait and see what happened. I was feeling miserable. Miserable. I think that's like an understatement if you ask me. And then the miracle happened. I needed something to be fixed in my kitchen. And the person who came to do the job brought your book about magnesium. It caught my attention because I had started to take a calcium magnesium supplement because someone told me that it was very good for stress. But this time, I couldn't read because the eye drops I was using caused mydriasis, excessively dilated pupils. He saw my interest and obvious need for magnesium and brought me a book the next day. Since I could do absolutely nothing else, I made a huge effort and started to read the book line by line. As I got further and further, I realized that almost everything that I was reading was about the health problems I've had my whole life. So I started to take magnesium. I got magnesium chloride in drops and started to take it in November 2002. I began to improve week by week. 4 weeks later, the injection paralysis was gone, and the blepharospasm was improving beautifully. Besides the blepharospasm and paralysis, these are all my other symptoms that are diminishing day by day. Now get this. Chronic fatigue syndrome, PMS, excessive emotional stress, joint pain, back and neck pain, constipation, anxiety, nervousness, arrhythmia, heart rhythm abnormalities, cystitis, which would be urinary tract infections, or you could have interstitial cystitis. I don't know what she had. Colitis. Oh, wow. Bad circulation, cold hands and feet, feeling disoriented in time and space, depression without apparent cause and inability to cope with everyday things, flatulence, mood swings, and hormonal imbalance. Whoa. She says, my symptoms are not 100% gone, but almost, exclamation point. The quote-unquote incurable blepharospasm has almost disappeared, and I feel that it will very soon be gone completely. I'm taking 800 milligrams of magnesium per day, 400 milligrams in the morning, and 400 milligrams before going to bed. I'm also taking flaxseed oil and a multivitamin for women. I'm telling you my story because if someone has the same diagnosis, I want them to know that there is hope, that this is curable with the miracle of magnesium. Thank you very much, exclamation point. Very, very wonderful. That was a horrible condition. There are a lot of people who have horrible conditions with prognoses such as this, with treatments offered as hopeless as this, or as, what do I want to say, as difficult as this, to have so many make them so difficult and then only to try to limp along, not to heal. And who would have ever known that that her this whole problem with her eyelids was had its not so wondrous root in magnesium deficiency. So magnesium now become a big wondrous root for this person. That's the whole idea behind my business name, Wondrous Roots. We are trying to get at root cause. We're trying to get at root answers. We're not trying to shoot darts at branches. We're not trying to take a condition and throw something at it, not recognizing why the condition exists in the first place. That is what's missing in so much of medicine and healthcare today. Why? But why? And if we can fix the why, doesn't it follow that we can fix the what? It does. It's very exciting. So what I want to say is in that ebook that I put on my newsletter that you can open up and read and download if you want to, download it to your computer or wherever you store your things digitally, that you will see this person's this person, Jane, and her, excuse me. And her top 10 improvements. So it says, one woman in her early 50s, whom I'll call Jane, filled out my patient symptom survey. This is Carolyn Dean, MD, ND, who wrote this book, The Magnesium Miracle. The survey has 70 questions, each scored on a scale 0 to 10. A healthy person would have had a very low score from 0 to 30. Jane, however, scored an incredible 275. After 3 months, with only the addition of magnesium, See, I love that, right? Because that wasn't like, well, you know, we added magnesium and glutathione and iodine and lithium and vitamin B12 and B6 and B2 and you know, whatever. It wasn't like we added a bunch of stuff. This is like all she added was magnesium. Less knee pain. Number one. Less knee pain. Our knees take the brunt of our weight. The knee is just a simple hinge joint that is held in place by the thigh and leg muscles. If those muscles are tight or are in spasm, that alone can cause a slight displacement of the knee, which over time can turn into what medicine calls knee arthritis. However, instead of immediately going on pain medication or undergoing knee surgery to clean out the joint, magnesium supplementation to relax the muscles is the treatment of choice. Number two. Carbohydrate sugar cravings reduced. Wow, a lot of people suffer from those. On a scale of 0 to 10, Jane saw her level of cravings drop from 9 to 0.5. Magnesium is a necessary cofactor in the proper metabolism of carbohydrates. It also helps insulin work properly to put sugar inside cells where it belongs and not leave it in the bloodstream where it can continue to cause sugar cravings. Wow, isn't that very interesting? Put sugar inside the cells where it belongs and not leave it in the bloodstream where it can continue to cause sugar cravings. I didn't know that when sugar is high in your bloodstream, that it causes sugar cravings. I did not know that, right? I really didn't know that because I thought it was more like when it's high in your bloodstream and then it drops really fast, it causes sugar cravings. But that's quite interesting to me, at least. Number three. Facial wrinkles and crevices diminishing. This is a new benefit of magnesium that I hadn't heard before, but Jane is a very observant lady. I'm sure others are receiving the benefit of magnesium in this way, but aren't taking note. It's likely to do with tissue integrity, cellular hydration, and cell health, all of which are important effects of magnesium balance. Number four, dramatic reduction in migraines. Migraines can cause the most severe pain known to humans. They are debilitating and said to be incurable. Lifelong use of pain medication seems to be the only option that doctors can offer. However, Jane and thousands of other readers of the Magnesium Miracle have found relief from migraines and headaches by using magnesium. In Chapter 4, I talk about also using a combination of methylated B vitamins, B2, B6, B12, and folate. Oh, nobody's heard me talk about those before, now have you? And a product called Realign. She has a line of supplements. If magnesium alone doesn't give full relief. And for migraine, I recommend the magnesium L-threonate form of magnesium, which enters the cerebral spinal fluid, crosses the blood-brain barrier beautifully, and it works very, very effectively for migraine. So if you've not tried that, just put that in your brain. Remembrance. 5, periods, menstrual periods, went from dark to bright red and from severe clots to minimal. Magnesium works in several ways to lessen the intensity of menstrual flow. It facilitates the oxygenation of the blood and detoxifies it, changing a dark toxic flow to a bright red one. It also thins the blood naturally, breaking up clots. Thins the blood naturally. Now, someone asked me this past week about going in for a surgical procedure, not a lot of cutting or anything, but sort of a stitching things together. And was told, you know, to go off her supplements in preparation for the surgery to be careful not to thin the blood too much. So she asked me about that, and she said, the one I don't want to go off is magnesium because I'll get leg cramps. So I did tell her, oh, I wouldn't, you know, the only things I caution people are, you know, herbal things and fish oil, vitamin E. Other than that, most supplements are just fine. But when I was reading this about, you know, it reminded me that magnesium is a natural blood thinner. I went to look a little bit more into that. And I found a great page earlier this morning on that. I should publish that for you in another newsletter because people are always asking me if they're going in for surgery. It is a great comprehensive page on all of that. But really recommended magnesium be continued because magnesium is so fantastic for healing. And my feeling about it is if you were healthy and you're going in for surgery, your magnesium levels should be up, right? It's not like you're taking something in from the outside that is like an herb would be that isn't part of your natural habitat within your body. It's something that you should have. You should have adequate magnesium, and that certainly is not a contraindication to going into surgery. So I would say don't avoid magnesium. You need it all the more if you're undergoing that kind of a stress to yourself in so many ways as surgery presents. All right, number 6, able to exercise intensively for the first time in years. Prior to this, Jane would be exhausted for at least 3 days after any exercise. In Jane's case, it was probably a combination of things. She likely didn't have enough magnesium to neutralize the lactic acid she was building up, so instead she got aches and pains. Very interesting. Also, one of the first symptoms of magnesium deficiency is fatigue. Adenosine triphosphate, ATP, okay, you guys know me if you've been listening for any time, as a mitochondriac is what I call myself, that's ATP, mitochondrial energy, is the energy molecule that is created with the help of magnesium. When you don't have sufficient ATP, you just don't have the oomph that you need to exercise. Number 7, sleep has improved. When your body is magnesium deficient, it's as if your cells and nerves are all on edge. They are tight and contracted and ready to snap. If you lie down in that state, your body can't relax, your mind can't relax, and you toss and turn. Simply having the proper amount of magnesium turns off that tension, relaxes your muscles, and allows you to slip into sleep. 8, able to keep going past 6:30 p.m. Without enough magnesium, the energy body gets from ATP is diminished and people have no staying power. 9, less sound sensitivity and hypersensitivity. Studies done on pilots showed an increased sound sensitivity in the face of magnesium deficiency. A woman phoned into a talk show I was appearing on and asked about her son, who was in a rock band. She said that her son had developed a tic below one eye and wondered if it could be magnesium deficiency. I said, it absolutely could. That's interesting too. 10, better able to concentrate when someone is speaking to her. Jane had been finding that her concentration was hampered, especially if there was a lot of background noise. Poor concentration is not something you will find in a list of symptoms of magnesium deficiency. However, it makes sense that if your body is tense and irritable and you are sound sensitive, then you can have trouble concentrating. So those are some really good. There's some others in there too. So anyway, I'm going to go to some of this material now on the page that I put together earlier today. Will magnesium become the next vitamin D? And this is with specific reference to actually pancreatic cancer, believe it or not. It's a Joseph Mercola article. I'm going to just hit some highlights on that. Bear with me. Open that page. It says, will magnesium become the next vitamin D? Now, this was written in 2022, just last year. Pancreatic cancer kills 40,000 Americans each year. And a landmark study, increased magnesium intake was associated with significant reduction in pancreatic cancer incidence. Wow. Magnesium is rapidly becoming the new vitamin E, D. We say this because magnesium protects against a host of degenerative diseases, costs very little, and is increasingly recognized as a nutrient that all aging individuals should include in their supplement program. And of course, not just aging individuals, right? All individuals. Boy, it only gets worse, however, as you age. Vitamin D has emerged as a nutrient with astonishing value in disease prevention. Its low cost enables virtually everyone to supplement with enough potency to obtain broad spectrum benefits. Magnesium has similar attributes since it provides robust health effects, costs very little, and most Americans don't get enough. The best way to summarize vitamin D is that people who are deficient suffer more degenerative illness and premature death. The same holds true for magnesium. Scientists recognize magnesium mostly as it relates to protection against cardiovascular disorders. Higher magnesium intake is associated with reduced risks of sudden cardiac death, stroke, type 2 diabetes, asthma, metabolic syndrome, heart disease, hypertension, and osteoporosis. With few publications, what few publications discuss are findings showing cancer risk reductions in those who ingest higher amounts of magnesium. The challenge when assessing dietary magnesium intake is inconsistency of the amount of magnesium contained in food. It's not manufactured inside plants like disease-fighting polyphenols. This means the quantity of dietary magnesium is largely dictated by the amount of magnesium in the soil the food is grown in or the mineral content of the water one drinks, both of which are highly variable. We talked about that last week, how our soils are super magnesium deficient. So even when we're eating foods that are supposed to be rich in magnesium, we don't know how rich. In a landmark human study, there were marked reductions, in pancreatic cancer risk in those who ingested higher amounts of magnesium, primarily in dietary supplements. Other studies show colon cancer risk reductions in response to higher magnesium intake. The totality of evidence supporting magnesium's systemic benefits may soon transform this mineral into the next vitamin D as far as widespread public use is concerned. This is great news for Americans who face a phalanx of degenerative disorders that magnesium has been shown to protect against. It's regrettable that it has taken so long for this realization to manifest. Before the sun sets today, about 145 Americans will learn they have pancreatic cancer. It will likely be the worst day of their lives. Well, probably not. It's not the worst day of their lives so far, right? There are no good treatment options. The newly diagnosed cancer patient faces a litany of bad choices that are unlikely to be curative, but will inflict horrific side effects. Diabetics, of course, this makes sense, right? Because diabetes has to do with the pancreas. Diabetics are at a higher risk for pancreatic cancer. A high percentage of pancreatic cancer patients also have type 2 diabetes. Research has shown that about 80% of pancreatic cancer patients had diabetes or glucose intolerance upon their cancer diagnosis. These findings support current research showing elevated cancer risks in people with higher blood glucose levels. In response to excess glucose, more insulin is secreted, which in turn fuels growth of malignant cells. An interesting finding we reported several years ago showed that type 2 diabetics that used the drug metformin had a 62% lower pancreatic cancer risk compared to those who had not taken the drug. One of metformin's properties is to improve insulin sensitivity by activating a cell energy enzyme, AMPK. Oh, the last time I talked about AMPK on this radio program was when I was talking about bergamot, which is the fruit part of it, not the essential oil of bergamot, but it's a citrus fruit, a green citrus fruit native to Italy. And it is really good for balancing lipids. So is magnesium, by the way, and I hope I have time to get to that today. But it also raises the cell energy enzyme AMPK and helps regulate blood glucose. So anyway, that's just a little aside. The risk of contracting type 2 diabetes is lower in those with higher intakes of magnesium. A meta-analysis of human studies found that for every 100 milligrams increase in magnesium intake, risk of developing type 2 diabetes decreased by 15%. Wow. And for my type 2 diabetics out there, just, you know, put that in your head. We need to make sure that we have you supplementing adequately with magnesium. And I can talk a little bit more about the dosing in a moment as well. This understanding has led researchers to investigate whether people who consume more magnesium have lower pancreatic cancer incidence. And anyway, it goes on to talk about that. Researchers found that pancreatic cancer risk increased by 24% for every 100 milligram decrease in magnesium intake below the recommended daily allowance. For example, an individual with a daily magnesium intake of 200 milligrams has a 24% increased risk of pancreatic cancer compared to a person who ingests 300 milligrams a day. Both of these intakes, 200 and 300 milligrams a day of magnesium, are considered deficient even by government standards. So anyway, the study published in late 2015 evaluated data from the Vitamins and Lifestyle trial involving more than 66,000 men and women ages 50 to 76 years who were followed for an 8-year period. The subjects were divided into the following three groups based on their magnesium intake. Optimal intake says defined as ingesting greater or equal to 100% of the government RDA, 420 milligrams a day for males, 320 milligrams a day for females. Suboptimal daily intake was 75 to 90% of the government RDA, and deficient intake was 75%, less than 75%, less than 315 milligrams a day for males and less than 240 milligrams a day for females. And I would venture to say that most people, if not paying attention to this, fall into that third group. Anyway, it goes on, and you can read about that if you want to learn more about that whole pancreatic cancer thing and magnesium. I thought there was it's very interesting when we talk about how the whole idea of cholesterol being the cause of heart disease. One of the big things that magnesium addresses is heart disease, really just about every aspect of it. But let me just see here her part on cholesterol there. Probably 173, 174 in this book. I'm just looking this up because I didn't mark the page. But I want to refer to it because, yeah. So, it's very interesting that the study that was done in 1913 in Russia that kind of fueled this whole cholesterol as the root of heart disease was really flawed. And it has stuck. And it is the kind of study that it kind of reminds me of, although probably not even as this next example is probably not even as drastic, but the China study that said eating meat was the reason you got cancer. And that was, you know, totally flawed. And yet, you know, it received a lot of press, it received a lot of publicity, and people were like, see, you know, so I'm going to go on a vegetarian diet. And anyway, In 1913, two Russian researchers fed large amounts of cholesterol to a group of hungry rabbits. When they saw yellow gunk clogging the rabbit's arteries, they leapt to the conclusion that cholesterol must be responsible for coronary artery disease. Robert Ford, as long ago as 1969, called the cholesterol theory of heart disease a tragic blunder. In his book called Stale Food versus Fresh Food, Ford gave us some very important information about the Russian experiment that had been overlooked for decades. He wrote, quote, their finding was one of those unfortunate half-truths which only served to mislead, unquote. In his common sense way of looking at the cholesterol theory of heart disease, Ford said, quote, it is absurd to say that something we are largely made of would be harmful for us to eat, unquote. Ford explained that dietary cholesterol is harmful only if it is stale or rancid. When he read the original article by the Russians, he was amazed to discover that they had fed their rabbits, quote, pure crystalline cholesterol dissolved in vegetable oil, unquote, to produce the cholesterol buildup in arteries. They didn't stop to think that crystalline cholesterol is not something that the body can use, but is, quote, an unnatural stale substance known as oxycholesterol, which is not found in fresh food or in the healthy human body, unquote. Ford said the cholesterol theory of heart disease was untrue in 1913, is still untrue, and has served to deceive us by delaying discovery of the real causes and cures. That is really super important, and I'm glad to expose that to those of you who are listening, those of you who listen, because there's so much controversy, and yet this whole flawed study from Russia in 1913 is how Big Pharma is making billions and billions of dollars with statin medication, and how your doctor through Big Pharma and the AMA thinks that's what you need. And so anyway, it says here, you know, the statin drugs, we know that I don't want to go into all of that, the CoQ10 that goes down and all of that kind of stuff. But listen to this. Magnesium is a natural statin. But see, you're going to see the difference. It doesn't artificially lower. It only balances when there's too much, but it does that. A well-known magnesium expert, Mildred Seelig, MD, just before she died in 2004, wrote a fascinating paper with Andrea Rosenoff, PhD, showing that magnesium acts by the same mechanisms as statin drugs to lower cholesterol. Every metabolic activity in the body depends on enzymes. Making cholesterol, for example, requires a specific enzyme called HMG-CoA reductase. As it turns out, magnesium slows down this enzymatic reaction when cholesterol is present in sufficient quantities and speeds it up when we need more. Boom. Bingo. Let me say that again. Magnesium slows down this enzymatic reaction when cholesterol is present in sufficient quantities, right, because it's the Lord and giver of life. We're dead without it, and speeds it up when we need more. HMG-CoA reductase, statin drugs target and inhibit. The mechanisms are nearly the same, however, magnesium that the body has evolved to control and balance cholesterol, whereas statin drugs are used to destroy the whole process. Wow. It's just like, no, let's just stop it completely. Let's not manage it. Let's not use it when we need it. Let's accelerate it when it's needed. Let's diminish it when it's not needed. And we'll keep you in perfect cholesterol balance. No, let's just turn it off completely. That's why we have so many problems with statin drugs, so many health problems in people who are taking them. If sufficient magnesium is present in the body, cholesterol will be limited to its necessary functions, the production of hormones and the maintenance of membranes, and will not be produced in excess. Remember, most of the cholesterol in the body is produced in the liver. So if it's not needed, the body won't produce it. But this mechanism depends on having sufficient magnesium. Now, here's the deal. Here's another point. Diana Schwartzbein, who is also an MD, she's an endocrinologist. She wrote the Schwartzbein Principle, and she's now written the Schwartzbein Principle 2, and she's got cookbooks that go with it and everything. But she makes a statement in that book she's an endocrinologist, that she didn't realize early on when she was practicing is that the only way to keep your cholesterol in range, in healthy range, is by eating cholesterol-rich foods. Otherwise, the liver will stand, will come in and produce it en masse, right? Because it's so life-saving, it's so life-giving, it's how we stay alive. It is the Lord and giver of life when it comes to all the hormones in our body and our brain. And so if you're eating a diet that's balanced and has cholesterol in it, that's a very important thing for regulating your cholesterol. But what are you told when you go to the doctor? Don't eat eggs, don't eat meat, don't eat saturated fat. What do you eat instead? You eat cereal, you eat skim milk, you eat all of these things that raise your blood sugar. And don't offer nutrition. That's a minor point. What's nutrition, right? It's only in our present-day circumstances of magnesium-deficient soil, little magnesium processed foods, and excessive intake of calcium and calcium-rich foods. That's another huge point here. Without supplementation of magnesium, that cholesterol has become elevated in the population. If there is not enough magnesium to limit the activity of the cholesterol-converting enzyme, we are bound to make more cholesterol than is needed. The magnesium-cholesterol story gets even better. Magnesium is responsible for several other lipid-altering functions that are not even shared by statin drugs. Magnesium is necessary for the activity of an enzyme that lowers LDL. It also lowers triglycerides and raises HDL. Another magnesium-dependent enzyme converts omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acids into prostaglandins, which are necessary for heart and overall health. Seelig and Rosenoff conclude their paper by saying that it is well accepted that magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker, and now we know it also acts like a natural statin. But again, a natural statin, a modifying natural statin, not a slam dunk, one way only is down statin, like your Lipitor, atorvastatin, Zocor. When I went to medical school, says Carolyn Dean, the average total cholesterol level was 245 milligrams per deciliter. And you know what? I tell people, I don't like to see anybody's cholesterol under 200, and just unless it just happens to be that way, I guess that's right for that person. But oh my goodness, no. What your doctor sees is no, 200 is way too high, right? It wasn't until cholesterol-lowering drugs came on the market that doctors and drug companies began promoting much lower levels of cholesterol in a misguided attempt to prevent heart disease. Oh, sickening. For a protocol of supplements for high cholesterol, see supplements, blah, 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 and a certain thing. The coronary calcium scan, somebody else was asking me about that just this past week as well. A good way to do that, because it actually is the calcium in the soft tissues that causes calcification and plaque buildup, and that is directly related to magnesium deficiency, because magnesium, when it's optimal, will dissolve that excess soft tissue calcium deposit. And calcium deposits in the soft tissues let's go here. Let's talk about the epidemic of atrial fibrillation, because I was talking with another client this week about that. Epidemic of atrial fibrillation. So that's when the heart goes off rhythm and races, right? So some people have premature ventricular contractions or PACs, premature atrial contractions, but atrial fibrillation is when it just goes, you know, so you flutter, or you might have mitral valve prolapse and you have some uneven heartbeat from time to time. This is when the heart rate can just take right off and, you know, off to the races. And the problem that these people are put on is people with atrial fibrillation is blood thinners to keep them from throwing a clot as they go from normal sinus rhythm into atrial fibrillation. Anyway, why are so many doctors suddenly beating erratically? So why are so many hearts suddenly beating erratically and mystifying doctors? One, because 80% of the population is magnesium deficient. Two, because doctors don't even measure magnesium when they investigate atrial fibrillation. Three, because doctors don't ask their patients if they are drinking enough water. Four, because doctors don't make sure their patients are taking enough magnesium and other minerals, including sea salt, in their water. sea salt in their water. Oh, no, no, no. That'll raise your blood pressure, right? I think there is more focus on AFib currently because there are newer drugs to treat some of the symptoms. Specifically, drug companies are marketing new blood centers. Blood centers are the primary treatment for AFib's potential to produce clots. A rapidly fibrillating heart may not empty completely, leaving some blood behind that could clot if it doesn't keep moving. Blood thinners don't heal the condition, right? They just prevent blood clot formation. But the side effects of the newer drugs can be devastating, causing irreversible bleeding. Okay, so she talks about what it is. She says, I believe the increase, it says, in the United States, AFib hospitalizations increased by 23% between 2000 and 2010. The number of people in 2010 with AFib was about 5.2 million. And this is predicted to increase to about 12.1 million cases in 2030. I believe, she says, Carolyn Dean, the increase in AFib parallels the increase in magnesium deficiency in the population. Right there. Doctors believe that most cases of AFib are secondary to heart disease, so the treatment is to medicate those symptoms to try to alter the course of the disease. So anyway, she has a lot more to say about that than I have time to cover right now. Again, this book is really great, The Magnesium Miracle by Count, the second edition is what you'd find on Amazon. It was in my newsletter last week. I had a link to that. But I think super important. I want to take a look quickly while we still have a little bit of time to the ebook that you can access there. Lack of magnesium in the diet, magnesium in foods, lack of magnesium on the farm, some recipes, a recipe there. Who needs magnesium? Oh my goodness, look at all of the symptoms there on page 11. The stress mineral for anxiety, panic attacks. Magnesium is an important treatment for panic attacks because it helps calm the body in many different ways. Magnesium and headaches, we talked about heart disease. Too much calcium, so I want to get this straight. Calcium contracts and magnesium relaxes muscles and nerve cells. The way calcium works has everything to do with how it interacts with magnesium. Let's look at the dynamics of calcium magnesium inside and outside a cell. First of all, magnesium is necessary in order to keep the mineral channels working properly. If there is a magnesium deficiency, the mineral channels don't open and close properly, and calcium floods into the cells. When that happens, the cells go into spasm. If calcium accumulates in the cell, it disrupts cell function and can lead to angina, high blood pressure, arrhythmia, asthma, atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, and even heart attacks. Magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker. Hypertension and magnesium, the lipid-loving mineral, we talked about that, how it goes in and takes care of that in a natural way and in a balanced way, not like a slam dunk statin drug. Magnesium and diabetes, we talked about magnesium blood clots, healthy women and children, super important. And then there's Jane's story there. It says the more calcium you take without the balancing effect of magnesium, the more symptoms of magnesium deficiency and calcium excess you experience. And there was also, I read in her book, but I don't have the page right there, but saying with AFib, the recommendation, people will take calcium and a calcium and magnesium supplement. And that she saw that as a forerunner of things like atrial fibrillation. And I've seen that too, at least by connecting dots as possible in real life people. But I would say, don't do that. You don't want a calcium magnesium supplement. You get so much calcium in your food. Believe it or not, even if you're not a dairy person, you'd be very surprised how much calcium you are actually ingesting. And the ratio of calcium to magnesium right now in the diet is way off. It's way too high on calcium, low on magnesium. So how do you take magnesium? I use the magnesium gel at the moment, so magnesium chloride in a topical. So I use that when I get out of the shower. I put magnesium gel all over my body, like a lotion, especially like rubbing it into the soles of your feet. That's a great way to get it into the tissues of the body, but all throughout, and just put it on. It makes your skin really soft. And then I just kind of let it air dry. And I put some lotion on, some of our Wonder Skin lotion. That is a really great way to replenish magnesium in your body, and it won't loosen your stools like, can happen with when you're taking magnesium orally. But what you want to really do is you want to gradually increase your dose so that your body gets used to it. Magnesium that doesn't get absorbed stays in the colon and it attracts water into the stool, which can really help if you have hard stool, but it's not doing your body, the rest of your body, any good. They recommend in this article, the ebook, using the Calm magnesium citrate, which is a powdered form, and ramping up the dose till you're getting, there's kind of a good guidance there. She says it would vary from person to person. Is about 400 milligrams of elemental magnesium. Remember, if you're getting something like magnesium glycinate, what you've got there is about 12% elemental magnesium. To 120 milligrams of magnesium glycinate, 12% is only, so you have to take a lot. It seems like an awful lot. And I think a lot of us, even people I have recommended magnesium to, could really benefit by doing more. But she recommends a citrate. Now, the citrate can have like it says, I find that some people get so excited about taking magnesium that they forget to slowly build up their dose. And we all think that more is better. Taking too much magnesium initially might create a laxative effect you weren't expecting, giving you the mistaken impression that you are having a bad reaction to magnesium. To prevent this, I think it's important to start with a low dose of 150 to 200 milligrams and build up to 400 milligrams once or twice a day until your bowel movements are comfortably loose. The need might vary, whatever. She kind of liked the that form. Carolyn Dean's line of products has a lot of ionic magnesium in liquid form. I like that too. There's a lot of good forms. We have, again, the gel here. We have, I have magnesium glycinate, magnesium glycinate, magnesium taurate, which is really good for the heart, and different things like that. But I mean, there are a lot of different things out there for magnesium supplementation, but you need to be doing it. Talk about muscle cramping is a really key thing. If you get calf muscles, spasms, foot cramps, leg cramps, get some magnesium gel and be really religious about daily rubbing the magnesium into your feet, into your calves. Again, you'll replenish your whole body. It's a great way to get your magnesium without swallowing a bunch of pills or powder. And so this will be my last full dedicated program on magnesium, but I'm sure I'll be talking about it here and there and everywhere when we talk about health here. Magnesium plays a huge, huge role, and so I'm sure it will come in and out many, many times. But I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you have a very wonderful weekend. Father's Day, happy Father's Day to all of you out there. A lot of good recipes in my newsletter. I didn't get to go to those. Maybe I've got about a minute. I'll highlight some of them. What I want to say about them is these are six recipes that are all magnesium rich. Another great thing about them is that they are gluten-free. One is salmon salad power bowls and everything but the kitchen sink soup, breakfast power bowls, cinnamon and spice plantain bites, egg and white and plantain, not plantain, plantain. This is actually the banana, right, variety. Egg and white bean tostadas with chili sauce and creamy blueberry broccoli slaw salad with yogurt. That looks really good. We have 60 seconds, they tell me, from Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to say goodbye. And again, have a wonderful weekend. Come back and join me again next Saturday at noon. Take care.